now. So it's exciting stuff. Well, we are in week three of a series that has really been a blessing to me, and I'm hoping is encouraging to you. And it's on the screen here. So small things, big difference. So when we get an idea of something that we want, especially we see somebody that has something that maybe is really cool. They've either got a nice house, or maybe the house is, you know, just normal. But then some people are really good at doing like the outside of their house, like landscaping and things like that. I don't have a green thumb among the 10 of, you know, 10 of my fingers. There's no green thumbs, no green fingers. I mow. That is my one job outside. And I trim and I keep the edging done. That's it. Danielle does everything else. But some people have like this gift for just making things look awesome. And if you go by a house, usually it's been an older house that's had years of growth and like where it's been managed. And you see like these layers of things. Like if you go to my parents' house, you'll see layers and layers of different things planted, right? And so you might get the idea, says, well, I want my landscaping to be awesome. Every once in a while I get an idea like that, and I'll try to throw something together. Well, if it's one of your houses, then just you might be done coming to this church, and I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. But we've got two houses in our neighborhood that have beautiful, beautiful flowers around the outside. They're about every 4 or 6 feet. They're all different kinds of flowers, which is really hard. Some people can get a few things growing, but every day they're just beautiful. They're fake. We've got two houses in my neighborhood that have fake flowers planted around their house. That gives a Charles Barkley. That's terrible. It's terrible. It's not right. You should not plant fake flowers. If it is somebody in this room, and if you've done that at your house, then just, you know, hide your head and just know that that's not what you should do. And so I actually just gave Joe a great idea. He's across from me, so I will be expecting beautiful flowers to look at every day, all year round. And, you know, it's just one of those days. It's like, man, that is really a bright red. And it's like, wow, we saw one, and now there's another. And so they're multiplying. But it kind of ties in with the series, because we tend to be attracted to something that we want, and it's usually a good thing. Like, I'm not just talking about wanting a better car or a bigger house or an improved spouse or something, you know, something like that. I'm talking about where you just want something that really is a good thing. You want to get your finances in order. You want your house to look like you actually care about your yard, and you want your kids to be behaved, or you want all these different things. These are good things. Putting fake flowers out doesn't cut it, right? It takes years and seasons of setting up your house and your ground and your soil and the nurture and all of these things. And usually you're buying the annuals, and then you're taking care of the perennials. It took me for years why the annuals didn't come back every year. That just doesn't make sense in my mind. But anyways, you have all of this going on. And it takes small things over and over again, year in, year out, and then you're going to have the yard that people drive by and say, I'm buying fake flowers because I want that today, right? So sometimes we see that thing and we get very impatient because we want it now. And just as a side note, because it's one of the top 10 after my children. No, I'm being a little ornery. But I was in front of my house, and I had a man walk up, and he goes, how do you make your grass look so nice? I've never been asked that. Never, ever, ever been asked that in my adult home-owning, home-taking-care-of life, okay? This was like, I mean, my heart filled up. And the truth of the matter is because we finally got smart. There's a man who lives a few doors down from us. We just all call him Mr. Bill. And my wife finally said, Mr. Bill, he has the prettiest grass in the whole neighborhood. And we said, Mr. Bill, tell us every time you are doing something to your lawn and what you're doing, and we're going to go do the exact same thing. Okay? And so now we're on two seasons of that, and guess what? I got asked. is that awesome? And so now I didn't say anything about Mr. Bill. I just said, well, you know, I said, us lawn care professionals, anyways. But it takes the little things. Now, I could just go buy sod, you know, cheaters. I could plant fake flowers. Come on. Or, yeah, AstroTurf and fake flowers. That's got to be next. I mean, if you're in Arizona or parts of Florida, I guess you have to do it because you can't grow anything like grass, normal grass. But we're talking about doing things over time that make a difference. And so we often wonder when we look at somebody else that has accomplished something that is admirable. It's worth replicating. Somebody that kids don't, their heads don't spin, and they don't cuss out their mom when they're being told to do something. Or you see a husband and wife that actually treat each other like they like each other. Or you see somebody that takes care of their finances over years. Or you see people that stay in relatively good health or something like that. We see those things, and we say, man, I don't think I can do the big things that they've done to get there. When in reality, and this is the key thought for our series, is that it's the small things that so many times people don't see result in the big things that everyone wants. And I'm talking about the good things that we want. These are things that we should hope for. Last week we focused on our thoughts because there's a quote that we've kind of, it's not scripture, but it basically can be rooted, and it's rooted out of scripture. And this is the premise here, is that our thoughts influence our words. Our words become our actions become habits, and our habits become destiny. So whatever, you can't wake up 20 years from now and be surprised where you're at. Now, we can be surprised at where time went. I don't know how I went from a little girl to a graduate. I don't know. That time just went, woo, you know, it's gone. But I can't be surprised that she graduated. She went to school, she did her work, you know, and all these things. So we tend to wake up some mornings and be like, why am I here? But it's because of everything that's happened along the way. Some things by other people, but most often what we do. And so we're talking about small things, big difference. So let's consider today the power of our words. This is just a fantastic, just an encouragement to us today. I'm really excited about it. The very beginning of the Bible describes God creating everything by speaking it into existence. Is that amazing? Let there be the cosmos. That's awesome. It's absolutely, absolutely awesome. And so we were created in the image of God, and so we communicate like no other creature, right? And so just about every other creature that communicates, it's all just basic, like survival, I'm going here, you know, it's all about organization and just whatever they are programmed to do. We have this ability to just speak. You know, we can just talk about things. We can waste all kinds of time talking, right? Our words are incredibly powerful. King Solomon says something very profound about our words in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue can bring life or death. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Aha. In the New International Version, and by the way, versions of the Bible or translations are nothing to get too excited about. What's really important is that you understand the Bible you're reading. And so we have landed on the New Living Translation here as a church. That's what I tend to read from and what we put on the screens and what we put in the seats. And just to help you out, I didn't know that when we bought those new Bibles that they were actually a 1996 New Living Translation. And so when I'm reading the 2015 translation. And so when you see things like everything's like a couple words different here and there. Anyways, I'm getting even newer Bibles for the chairs, and so hopefully those are here next week, but I wanted to explain that, why they're a little bit different. But the point is that all of these translations are rooted from the original text. They have original, I mean, old copies of Greek and Hebrew writings of the Bible. And in the case of the New Living Translation, 90 genius Bible scholars worked throughout the entire Bible and brought it into today's language. That's why we do this. And different translations can maybe have a little bit different impact depending on the words chosen. Sorry about the lecture there, but some people get real hung up on that. In the NIV, listen to this. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, what we can say and what we do say is either life-giving or it's life-taking. Those are going to be two phrases we use throughout the message today. Our words are either life-giving or they're life-taking. Our words all have consequences. Another way to see that is our words have fruit. And so what this says is that when you plant life, when you plant death with your words, those are going to come to fruition of some sort. Okay? So we need to ask ourselves, what am I planting when I open my mouth? This is pretty big stuff here. This is one of those things that will change your life. I really, really sincerely believe that. I'm reckless with my mouth, too. I figured this out, and you guys are just slackers for not figuring this out. I can be pretty cruel. What am I planting when I open my mouth? Because those are seeds. Even if they're life-taking, it's a seed that's going to come to some level of fruition. What will my words grow up to be? Anybody feeling convicted yet? Okay, good. Someone who thinks they are stupid, guess what I'm going to bet $1 million? They were either told they were stupid. Most likely they were told they were stupid. Sometimes by other people. But what we're also really bad at is telling ourselves things, right? Nobody insults me better than me, okay? Like, Adam, Danelle, you moron! How could you be so stupid, right? But if you come across somebody that has a complex of I am not a smart person, that is the fruit of seeds of life-taking words planted in that person's life. Or I'm ugly, or I can't do this, or something like that. It can often be traced to words that were planted. Now, some of these things weren't intentionally harmful. Sometimes we just say things. Maybe it's a nickname, or the best is when you're a kid and somebody, you know, points out one of your features that you already feel awkward about. You know, it's like, oh, man, you got big feet. Well, then that kid walks in. Like, yeah. Or, you know, as I've been abused by somebody in this room, you've got a big head, you know. He knows who I'm talking about. And so when he doesn't see me cry at night, okay? But seriously, when we take things and we take just an observation about somebody, it's hard to remember that we're throwing some seed out there. I hope he feels really convicted. But so many times these are unintentional things, right? We just either pick out a feature, man, that, you know, hope those ears don't stick out any further, or the wind's going to catch you, you know, or who knows, you know. Did you pay for that haircut? You know, something. Sometimes we just say stuff off the cuff. We just think we're being cute, we're being funny, whatever else. But then there's the intentional ones. And there's the ones that we say to ourselves. And so I'm really bad at criticizing myself. Well, your life will always bear the fruit of what's been planted by you and by others in it. Sometimes we can do little about what the people around us say, right? And hopefully we know who to take, you know, what in fun from and all of those things. And then if you're in a horrible situation, you have to find a way to latch into God's word about you and just hang on. I worked with teenagers over the years that were told awful things growing up, and I just tried to counterattack with God's truth about them. You know, you're going to do great things, and I've seen people come out of horrible situations, and God just rescues them and launches them in a different direction. If you want to change the life you have, you are really, really wanting different fruit. And if you want different fruit, guess what you need to do? You need to plant different seeds. You need to change the words you speak. Small changes in the words we speak will lead to a big difference in the life we live. Here's our main text today. We're going to go to James 3, 3 through 5. This is on page 1224 in the Bibles near you. And as I already explained, some of these will be, the words I say will be a little bit different just because of the year of translation, but they should follow pretty close. And so we're going to James chapter 3, or you could just listen, page 1224. I'm starting verse 3. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. If there is a verse that proves that small things make a big difference, this is it. Small bit turns a large horse. A small rudder changes the direction of a large ship. A tiny spark, you too can prevent forest fires, right? Tiny spark, huge fire. And I think it's interesting that it says the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. So here I am standing up here, other than walking around pacing like a wild man, the only thing really moving is my mouth. And yet I think back to the times where what somebody spoke in a message or something like that and the impact that it had on my life, I can think back of about 4 or 5 different sermons or messages in my life that just changed me from the inside out, right? And so that's what it's talking about, a small tongue and a grand speech. And so that would be the goal every Sunday morning, is that God would use my humble little mouth and that these words would come out and have a big impact, right? That's the idea behind it. And so small words can and will make a big difference. You can speak life-giving words, or you can speak life-taking words. If you've been around a relationship, like a marriage, or sometimes even friends, and you feel this edginess, you feel the tension, you feel the ugliness. There are life-taking words happening between those two people. And the ratio is probably off the charts. I mean, it's probably like 100 to 1. And when a relationship goes really sour, there's not really much good to say, right? And usually when it gets that raw, nobody wants to say those things, even though those are the very words that can plant deep and start to change the fruit. So it's that situation where, like, I'm not going to say anything nice because he's not saying anything nice or she's not saying anything nice. But then guess what happens when you are around a good marriage and you see two people that just know how to just be together and just enjoy kind of life together? You will find very few life-taking words between them. If anything, they've come to a place where they know how to talk about the hard things without directing that at the other person. This is very difficult. This is big boy, big girl stuff, okay, that I'm still learning. Danielle and I are pretty careful about our words, especially towards each other. But what about someone you just don't even care to be around? If you think about the people you don't like to be around, usually at the top of the list is going to be what they say. They just are horrible to listen to, right? either negative just about life in general, or just mean talking about other people, or right? It just kind of pours out. And you're just like, you know when you feel gross after you leave a conversation, right? It's like, ugh. It's like part of a relationship is hearing somebody what the garbage, what they're going through. Maybe their relationship is in trouble or whatever else. But you shouldn't feel like you just took a swim through a toxic dump, right? Right? This is, so when you know these kind of people, you tend to, I got to go. I got a thing. I got a plane to catch, you know? And you're usually moving pretty quick. But what about when you're around somebody that just you like to be around? You're like, man, I'm just happy just to have even a short or long conversation. I hope I can talk longer the next time I come across that person. Usually they're encouraging to you, but even if they're not saying anything directly to you or about anybody else, they just speak positively, right? Well, Solomon had more to say about our words. In Proverbs 12:18, he says this. He says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords. Life-taking, right? But the tongue of the wise brings healing. So think about that. When you are encountering somebody or encountering a situation, you can actually stick a sword through them. Sometimes it feels awful good. Or you can encounter them and you can say, I want them to leave in better health than when they started talking to me. It's pretty awesome. How about chapter 15, verse 4? The soothing tongue is a tree of life, life-giving. But a perverse tongue crushes the spirit, life-taking. Now, I don't want to have to do therapy for everybody, but if we could just for a couple seconds, we can probably all remember someone's life-taking words that crushed our spirit. Usually those still stay pretty close to the surface, unfortunately. When somebody just cut you down or basically said you couldn't do something or said something negative about you, it's real, right? Even some of those, I'll give a disclosure that they may have been unintentional, but they still hurt. And even worse is when they are intentional. I wish I never met you. I never loved you. You're a stupid person. How do you even get dressed in the morning? Nobody ever told me that, but maybe they thought it. Hopefully you can remember some life-giving words. We got to at least give some time for that. Can you remember somebody just speaking into you like a coach that said, you got this? Or your mom or dad saying, you can do it. You can do it. Or the last time, hopefully it was within the last 24 hours, or hopefully not too far in the past, where somebody just looked at you and gave you an honest, I love you. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. I'd marry you all over again. Let's not get crazy, right? You know, we don't want to say, you know, off the wall stuff like this, right? Well, last week we did a thought audit. This week let's do a quick word audit, okay? So life-taking would be a 1. Life-giving would be a 10. How do you speak to other people? Like the words. I try to be an encouraging person to other people. I would say it's something God's gifted me in. I like to build people, encourage people. It's probably one of the things I just go to a lot of trouble is to not speak badly about people. I just really try not to. Now, I can and I will. So don't push me, all right? Golden State, bunch of dirty players. Listen here. I've actually dared to get my hopes up for tonight. It's so hard to because it's Cleveland. And, no, I got to take this moment, all right? But wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if Steph Curry had, like, an off game of, like, 20 points and fouled out again and LeBron James had, like, 45 million points and strutted up? I mean, too much time. Sorry. But to other people, where are you at? 1 to 10. Do you cuss everybody out that comes in contact with you? I know most of you in here, and if I averaged all your conversations out to other people, I don't know if there's any ones in here. I've met some ones along the way. They're fun people, and they're actually so consistently negative, you know it's not personal, so they're actually kind of a hoot, right? Because, I mean, they're just bonkers, off the rails, I'm just going to hate everybody, right? And they're actually kind of easier to deal with, right? But where are you at on that? How about to yourself? Do you speak to yourself more life-giving or life-taking? I'm probably honestly in the middle, or sometimes I dip below. I'm confident because of all of the encouragement I've gotten from other people, but I can be brutal to myself. If you don't have two tens, if you don't have a 10 in both categories, then guess what? This message is for you. There's room to grow, okay? We've got three rules that we're going to learn today to life-giving words. And the first one, by law, every mom has to say at least 5,000 times. If you can't, you heard it too. Oh my goodness, you heard it too. If you can't say something helpful, skip it. If you can't say something nice, zip it, right? This is by law required child rearing, right? Ephesians 4:29, I'm going to read this from the NIV again. I just love the wording of it. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Here it comes. This. If you don't feel it after this, then maybe you don't have a soul, I don't know. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, not what you think they need, but that it will benefit those who are listening to you. There's a bunch of stuff in there. So first of all, if somebody's not listening, it doesn't do any good to just keep hammering on them. And it has to benefit them. And so often when we speak, it's for our own benefit. It makes me feel better. And when two last word people marry each other, by the way, that's fun. Danielle and I have run into that over the years. And it's like, at some point I just said, she's going to say the last thing. And I can either go to sleep or keep this thing going around. And two last word people, you know, if you got to get the last word in, you got to be careful who you marry, because you can end up talking for a long, 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 long time. All right? Not throwing any stones here, but it's got to benefit the other person. No elbowing the person next to you. Elbow yourself. We tend to do this as it's just our nature. We speak the things that make us feel better about a situation. So rule number one, you've heard it since you were two. If you can't say something nice or that is helpful, is even a better way to say it. Sometimes it's just about, does it benefit the situation? Does it benefit the other person? Or does it need to be said at all? Number two, if you think something good, say it. If you have something good to say, don't hold it in. How often do we wish that somebody would, we think of what a little encouragement might do at just the right time in each of our own lives, right? And I think back to all the times where I was maybe frustrated, and I think about what somebody else did for me by encouraging me. And so if I hold it in, I'm missing opportunities to bless somebody else. Proverbs 16:24, if you want to look at this or just note it down, page 652, kind words are like honey. They're sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. So they're not just make you feel good for the moment. It's actually going to make that person healthier. Is that incredible? what we say to people, just to have, it's one thing to not take life away. That'd be a good first step, okay? If you are just tearing people down, then stop, okay? That'd be great. But what God is looking for and what he created us, because he put his stamp of life on us. He put his stamp of creativity in us. We can essentially mirror his creativity in the things around us, right? I can build something. I can create something. I can paint something. I paint a house, but other people can make paintings, okay? I can play a few chords. Some people can write music, right? We have this creative ability. And you might say, well, I'm not a creative person. I don't have the gift. You don't want a paintbrush in my hand. Well, guess what you do have? You have a mouth. I've heard it. And you have the God-given opportunity to use it to speak to other people. Each of us have that. And notice this doesn't say gracious thoughts about somebody are healthy for them. That doesn't do them any good. Now, I like it when I can tell that somebody likes me. That's kind of generally encouraging to me, right? And so I can usually tell how somebody thinks about me. But nothing is better than those words coming out of their mouth saying, I appreciate this, or I think you're good at that, or it's, oh my goodness, it's air, right? It's oxygen. I'm standing up here and preaching today because of every time, and you can blame them, every time that someone spoke the good that they saw in me. From a youth pastor that said, do you want to do the message at the youth Easter service? I think you would do a good job at that. Blame him. I preached once and said, this is fun. Okay? And then somebody else saying, you know what? That really blessed me. You've gotten better at speaking. That's okay. That means, oh, so I was terrible, huh? Thanks. You know, you got to see what people are trying to say to you. But if you receive that in the right way, it's life-giving. And so I'm standing up here today because of all the encouragement, right? Somebody had to recognize the gifts. And we should do that in everybody. Don't just encourage others with your words. Encourage yourself. And that's really hard to do. And now, if you're just already puffed up and full of yourself, then maybe you need to deflate a little bit. But most of the people I know that even come across that way, it's really just an amazing amount of insecurity. And so, and sometimes it's really hard to encourage people that come across full of themselves. And so you got to kind of find your way to encourage them without kind of, you know, wow, they don't need to encourage. You know, I'm not going to encourage them. They're pretty full of themselves. They're usually probably pretty fragile at the core. And so what comes across so abrasive, it usually is a surface of wounds that they've experienced. And so it's good to encourage them at their core. Like, I see God using you, you know. You don't want to just flatter them, but just to speak to them. Okay, so rule number one was, everybody learned this from birth. Say anything nice or helpful, don't say it. Rule number two, if you think something good, say it. Rule number three, if you want to see it, say it. Okay? Mark 11:23, we're going to page 989 if you want to turn there with me. Mark 11. Give you a second for the page turners here. Verse 23 in Mark 11. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. The equation we're looking at here is that you can say, it will happen. You can say, it will happen. your heart must believe that God can do what you're saying. Now, this isn't self-help or mind over matter. So this isn't humanism or just Eastern spiritualism or whatever. Those are baloney trails right there. No good. Our statements need to be anchored in the truth of God if we want to see God breathe life in every area. So what we're talking about is making statements for godly things to happen that are rooted in His truth that He has proven in our lives or that we've seen proven in Scripture otherwise. So this isn't just pulling stuff out of the sky, you know. I'm going to be 7 foot tall and I'm going to go play for the Cavs and I'm going to, you know, no, baloney. You just can't, you know, wish things into existence and say it over and over again. But what this is saying is that there's fruit, just as of coming out of these words, that what you speak, it's to claim it. It's to stand on the truths of God and to say, this is true, and this is where I'm going. So our challenge for this message, here you go. What do you want to see? What do you want to see? If you don't have a target, you're going to miss every time, right? What do you want to see? Well, then, what are you going to do about it? It's not going to happen by accident. So today, we're going to come up with one statement. This is the challenge for this week, is to come up with one statement. We've asked God for a word. Last week, we added a thought to it. This week, we need to begin to speak it. I told you that God shared with me that my word for this, I believe, the season of my life, maybe forever, is build. My statement is that I will help others build their lives on the foundation of Christ. I want to put something with it that says this is the action that's going to go with what God is showing me. What is it? If it's I want to see peace in my relationships, then by God's help, I'm going to, you see what we're saying? We're speaking God's truth into action in our lives. Is that okay? Good stuff's going to happen if you want it to. I'm serious. How about Christ in me is stronger than the appetite in me? God is blessing my marriage. My children are growing in their faith. It's about claiming God's truth for an area that you want to see godly growth in. Okay? With God's power, I will overcome fill in the blank. What's the thing that you want to see happen? Do you want to see change in your life? Then you need to change the words you speak. Small changes in the words you speak, and then big changes you'll see in your life, a big difference. So rule one, can't say? Come on, if you can't say anything nice, zip it. Rule number two, if you think something good, say it. Rule number three, if you want to see it, say it. I'm not telling you to be quiet. I'm just telling you to change what you're saying, right? I believe God's word is encouraging us to change that. Words have the power of life and death. It's big time stuff. This is not trivial, okay? And so you can change the way you live. You can change the fruit that you see in your life. Now, you can't plant fake flowers. Well, you can, but they're fake. What you can do is you can begin to plant seeds of life-giving words. And the challenge is, especially if you're in one of those life-taking word situations, maybe a relationship has gone stale, maybe, who knows, you're going to have to be patient to see those flowers, okay? And if I'm just being real honest, we always want to see them in the other person first, right? We want to see the fruit. You've got to be willing to plant the seeds and see them come to fruition in yourself first. And you will change on the inside. If you begin to change and just to stop the life-taking words, just doing that alone means that you're going to cancel out fruit coming from those words, at least on your behalf. You will still have to deal with fruit from the other person's words. You can't change that, right? But you can cancel the fruit crop. you can cancel next year's crop of yours, right? And then if you even go another step towards God's heart and you begin to ask him for the grace to find something nice to say about the other person, because what we just read, you got to believe it in your heart. Oh, yeah, she's wonderful. Just like when you make little kids apologize, I'm sorry, you know, please, right? I think you're pretty. You know, I could make Benjamin say that all day about his sisters. He doesn't believe it, you know? So it doesn't do any good to say. So you got to ask God, give me something positive to speak about this other person. Tough, right? But then you're going to see that crop, okay? God's word promises this. Can we pray this morning? I know I didn't score a 10 in both of those word audits. And I've already begun to pray that God would help me change my words. If you'd like to pray that prayer this morning for God to just to help you to move from life-taking to life-giving, speaking to others and to yourself, would you raise your hand with me this morning and pray with me this morning? I see those hands. Every time we give God permission to change us, these are those kinds of prayers where he always says yes to, by the way. So, Father God, I thank you that if we ask you for help and grace in this area, that you are going to give it to us. And so, God, I thank you that you'll help us to change our words. Father God, when you gave your example as Jesus walked on this earth, life-giving, 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 life-giving. To Peter, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. I love you. I love you. Follow me. That's all he said was life-giving words. And even when he criticized the religious, it was to bring them to life. It was helpful. It was what they needed to hear for their benefit. God, help us to speak life-giving words. And the most life-giving words that we can ever say are, Jesus, I need you. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you've never accepted his forgiveness and his love for you, then the most important thing that you could say today is, Jesus, I need you. If you're ready to say those words today, maybe for the first time or maybe for a long time, would you raise your hand? I'd put and pray with you just for a moment this morning. He loves you. He's gone to a lot of trouble to be in a relationship with you. He only has life-giving words for you. If you've never said yes to Jesus, or you've been away from home for a long time, is today your day? Would you raise your hand? Father God, we thank you for your great love for us. God, I thank you that you want us to be dependent on you. God, I thank you that the words of surrender are beautiful to your ears. And Father God, when we invite you to fill us with your love and your power of your Holy Spirit, God, that these are things that you are just longing to hear from us. And so, God, these are the words that we can begin to speak. and then we can begin to speak those life-giving words to others. Can we stand and worship as we close our time together? We do have a gift for all the men in the church. It's called chocolate. Now I'm distracted and focused on the chocolate. I'm just kidding. So make sure you get your goodie this morning.
Living there in my breathing, God in my waking, God in my sleeping, God in my resting, there in my working, God in my thinking, God in my speaking, be my everything.
God, we thank you that you would be with us in our thinking and in our speaking and our working and our resting. God, in our laughing and our crying. Father God, we thank you that you are that kind of God, that you want to stay at the center of our lives. And so it's up to us to keep you at the center. So Father God, I thank you that we would carry you in our hearts. Father God, I thank you that we can share your life and your love just in the words we speak. Be with us in our speaking this week. Let us give life to the people around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yep. Go on, kids. We got kids coming in. Get that candy. Get that chocolate. Chocolate.